listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hello, gentle listener. While Geek.io holds its talent to the highest standards, what follows will likely involve the sort of language usually reserved for sailors on leave. If you're of a delicate disposition, then perhaps you would consider a different podcast.
Out of 10 fictional doctors say that you should start your day the generic live show way. This is the generic live show.
Hello everybody and welcome back. Man, oh man, hello everyone and welcome back to the generic live show. This is the generic live show. Man, it feels like forever since we got to do one of these, mainly because it has been forever. And, you know, I'm going to get philosophical for 1 second. Philosophical, is that the word? I think that's the word. I'm not too sure. It could be. It's been forever and it's been never at the same time. For this. The Dark Life Show is kind of timeless in that regard. Not really, it's been like 5 months. But hey, we're back, we're doing a show for you guys today. And so this is, the Dark Life Show is going to take a little bit of a different turn over the next couple of months. As you may already realize, this is pre-recorded. For one. Second of all, it's a lot smaller than what you're used to. So it's a lot more fun-sized, a lot more prepackaged than what you're probably used to. That's okay, though. We love that. But I wanted to not let the show retire. I don't want to let go of the Nerak Live Show, as a lot of veteran listeners of the show realize that I love this show. The show has been my passion project ever since 2015, and even before then. I've always wanted to have a podcast to call my own, and I always wanted something that was my creative project, and Direct Life Show has always been that throughout the various incarnations. You got to think, the show is so broad and can do so much for people that it doesn't have to be confined to this one certain space. You gotta think, the original incarnation of the show was daily. Oof. I was optimistic back in the day. It's fine. And then it grew out to be this half-hour thing, and then it grew out to be this full-hour thing, and then it was a three-hour talkback thing, including the pre-show and post-show that we used to have as well. We used to, you know, the core of the show has always been the same. It's always been me, and it's always been you guys, the listening community out there. And whilst we don't have a live chat room in this form of the show, it'll be back in a couple of months. I promise that we are going back to the original form of the previous incarnation of the show in some form at some point. But remember, you can still be a part of the show, even if it is pre-recorded in this sort of format. Always reach out to the show. show@geek-io.net. Generic Live Show in the subject line. That's always a thing. Always a plus if you go over to the Discord, geek-io.net/Discord, where I'll be posting today's stories. I've asked some feedback as well, and we can incorporate some of that feedback in some of these future shows. As someone put it, I think it was Josh or CJ, one of them put it, they're the same person, it's fine, but one of them put it as, this incarnation of the show is called the Generic Light Show. L-I-T-E. The Generic Light Show. It's Generic Light Show, but on a diet. We're getting our summer diet on early. You know, we're slimming down for the summer. You know, it's fine. We'll be back to our winter habitat in a few months. But I wanted to make sure that I still have this creative outlet, particularly for you guys, but also for me. I love creating the show. So it's interesting to see where this show sort of goes, if that makes sense. And with a pre-recorded show, we have a lot of realms to explore as well. What I won't be mentioning in this episode is the disaster that happened in Christchurch, because A, that's going to be next recordings, and two, that's just not a fun opening one, but I wanted to save that to be talked about at some point, because that is very important, and I know a lot of people would be asking me if I am covering that at some point, and the answer to that is yes, I will be covering that, but just not in this episode of the Drank Live Show. So, without further ado, we are gonna mix things up a little bit, and we are gonna be starting with a little bit of news.
On to the news.
If I'd be remiss to say if I don't love this new background, by the way, this new background that we have rocking at the moment, I am in love with this background that we have. Let me know if you like it as well. Please do hit me up. And on social media too, /geekio if this is something you're digging, this background. If not, well, we'll be back to the Generic Live regular one. The Generic Live background. Please. I would love that. So this episode is a little bit different. There's not really much news as to say to just some interesting articles that I read. I don't want to call it whilst on the break, but since last time we did an episode. So this duo of people, I want to show this on camera. I haven't produced this show in so long. Let's see where we go. There we go. This comes to us from Vice, and a bunch of people did a bunch of social experiments to finally answer the age-old question. The question for the ages, the worldwide phenomenon, what is better, Sydney or Melbourne? Dun ding ding. For quick reference as well, if you are Australian, this is a common occurrence, is whether Sydney or Melbourne is better. And I suppose for international people too, you probably think, who has the better city, Sydney or Melbourne? So we're going to run through a little of this and we're actually going to talk about it a little bit. So why not? It's my show and I can do what I want to. I'm just kidding. It's our show. There you go. So experiment one that I did is laying on the ground and timing how long it takes someone to stop. So the Melbourne-Sydney debate of Battle of Clint. Cliches. The Battle of Clinches. Sorry, we're just going back to this regular show. Battle of Clinches. My favourite sci-fi movie of 2019 coming out is The Battle of Clinches. Starring Tom Hanks. I don't know why Tom Hanks was the first, and Kate Middleton. Tom Hanks and Kate Middleton star in the 2019 sci-fi spectacular Battle of Clinches. They're kind of like Klingons, but they're made of like weird misshapen plates as heads. I don't know why. Who knows what this bit is? I don't know what. Where is this bit going? Battle of Clinches. If you have a plot, please let me know. I don't know why. Battle of Clinches. It's Oscar-worthy, please, let me tell you. And the stereotypical Sydney people are, you know, over cliche, and Melbourne over cliches. They're so over them. These cliches, they're everywhere. And Melbourne are always dazzling, and its beaches are industrial swamps. You know, they're very industrial in Melbourne as well. And, you know, they wanted to know who was kinder, is the sort of the moral of the story for this first social experiment. Zoom out a little bit on this. You can kind of see they're also just literally just lying in the street acting homeless, which I'm not saying that homelessness is not an issue. It is an issue, and particularly in these major cities where there is such an equity divide as well, that this is very important to find out who would be kinder to their population as well. And what are you looking at? Two people laying on the ground in Melbourne and Sydney. That's me on the left, laying on Swanson Street footpath in Melbourne, and the guy named Harvey on the footpath of Oxford Street in Sydney. Turns out both CBDs are outstanding places to have heart attacks. Interesting. In Melbourne, it took 1 minute and 21 seconds for a young woman to put hand on the shoulder. Are you alright, mate? Oh my god. That is the most Australian phrase I've ever heard in like 7 months. You alright, mate? And while Sydney, it took a total of 20 seconds to some gym dude to stop to check on Harvey. While those areas have a lot of foot traffic, we upped the stakes to trying somewhere quieter. It took a total of 25 seconds of Collingwood Smith Street for a woman across the road to investigate, while Javier took barely 6 seconds to have two old guys stop. Learning. What we learned from that. Sydney and Melbourne are quite equally kind. So as long as you're not near any train stations turn people into ruthless animals. I agree. I feel like that train stations are very busy, and people go to train stations and bus stations in kind of a way with tunnel vision. They go, all right, I've come to this place. I'm going to this place. I'm going to my stop. I am going to work. I'm going to XYZ cafe. I'm going to a cafe that doesn't have food on plates. I'm doing something with my day, and that sort of routine doesn't need to be broken. It's a shame, but it's a fact of human nature as well. This next one is actually very interesting, and I actually really am fascinated by this next one. Which city is more generous? So we've got the two gentlemen as well on either side, and they're going to a cafe with, I think it's short change. 30 cents off getting a coffee. The waitress seemed cheerfully ambivalent and gave me the coffee. Wow! Dude, 30 cents off, and they're like, don't worry about it, it's on the house. You know, that's insane. And the way, and it happened on the other one too. Wow. Went to 4 coffee shops, and nearly every time the baristas showed themselves to be fine ambassadors to their shops and cities, not only once, but the case. At the grounds of Alexandra telling herself a welcoming space to bring people together, unquote. Which case, 100% of the time, the customers have 100% of the money, because we found if you're 30 cents short, you'll get polite refusal. So we found if you're 30 cents short, you'll give a polite refusal. And look, to be fair, at the young waitress in the photo doing the correct thing and probably didn't want to get in trouble. That's also another thing as well. For example, if a barista goes, all right, well, you're 30 cents short, that's fine, I'll pick up the rest, if that makes sense. I mean, I understand that bosses don't want to give out, and particularly in these cities where coffees are like $500 a piece, they don't want to be giving them out to literally everyone. But I feel like if you are like short a little bit, people would be more, like, if you went in there expecting to get a free coffee out of the deal, they'd be like, oh, I'm 30 cents short, can I get the coffee? They'd be like, you're cute, get out of here. But if they're like, oh, you know, I've had, like, if you turn on the sub story a little bit, maybe. I don't know. It depends. I suppose, again, it depends on probably the establishment and anything, but this experiment, they leaned in Melbourne's favour. So, another experiment that they did, and this one's a little bit weirder. I don't know how they quantify this. It's kind of the nightlife. The mission was to discover how much fun you could have in the city with $50. The answer is none. I can guarantee you the answer is none. In Melbourne, the cheapest beer I could find is an Asian beer cafe in Swanson Street, where $9 to get a jug of Sumo's toy choice. Sumo's choice. And honestly, it tasted efficient as damn water. Cheapers. Damn water for $9. And the made at East Village, the schooners were $8.50, but he just missed happy hour. So how the VP stubbies are $7 a piece. $23 went to Chinatown to get two plates of dumplings, and city we found was pretty similar. Look, big nights on small budgets are equally difficult in both cities. Not surprisingly, a big night out in Melbourne and city taxis inclusive sans drug will cost a minimum of $100, which is a reality of living in 2019. Wow, jeepers. I loved that. I read that the other day. I think it's a couple of weeks old at this point, but I read that and I'm like, you know what? Good for them for pushing sort of the boundaries of expectations a little bit. You know, like, they are, like, pushing to the extreme and seeing how much they can get for as little as they can. And, you know, we've learned a life lesson here at the Jordanic Live Show today is be nice to people. You don't have to do, you don't have to be, like, overtly kind to them, but all you have to do is be nice. And it doesn't cost you anything to be nice. In 2019, just be nice. Like, it doesn't cost anything. Like, even a smile and stuff. Like, you don't even have to overdo it. But, you know, be nice to people. Because then, I'm a huge believer in the fact that what comes around will go around. You know? And you will definitely experience that too. Ding! Let's go ahead and we're going to bring back one of our favorite segments just because we're doing an abbreviated talk. Words are hard. I haven't talked in 4 months. I'd like to imagine, okay, sidebar. I'd like to imagine in the weird head canon of this show, I haven't talked since the last episode, which was the prediction shows in January. I'd like to imagine in my weird head canon that I hadn't spoken, like, at all. Like, I was completely mute for 3 months. And this is the first time I'm learning how to talk again. What was I going to say? Something. Oh, just because we're doing an abbreviated episode of the show doesn't mean we can't bring back some of our favorite segments. And I know CJ is going to be watching this. It's time for CJ's favorite bumper. It's time for... This is not my show! Or is it? I forget. I can't remember. 1974, 1981, 2002, 2001, 1941, 704. Is it the same as you remember? Or is it the same as it ever was? Alrighty. Yes, same as you remember, same as it ever was. I missed. Okay, I'd like that bumper, okay? You know? People hate it, but haters gonna hate, right? haters gonna hate. We're going all the way back today to the events of March 1930. Because why not? We haven't actually gone. I think this is the furthest back we've gone in the history of same as you remember, same as it ever was. Because, you know, why not? We need to take a deep dive in history sometimes. March 2nd, 1930, the first indoor glider flight, St. Louis Terminal Building. March 4th, 1930, Emma Fanning bowls first sanctioned 300 game by a woman. Sure. March 4th, Cool G Dam in Arizona declared. I can't read. This is not English. March 11th, 1930, William Taft, U.S. 27th President and Chief Justice, buried in Arlington. Oh. But also, interest event. March 12th, 1930, Mohandas Gandhi begins 300 kilometers, march protesting British salt tax. Huh. Salt tax. Interesting. March 15th, 1930, the first seaplane glider flown at Port Washington, New York. And also on March 15th, first streamlined submarine of U.S. Navy, NS Nutris, launched. Let's see what else is of interest here. Ooh, March 20th, 1930, Clarice Cummins sets diesel engine speed record of 129.39 kilometers per hour. Also, March 20th, 1930, American fast food restaurant chain KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, is founded by Colonel Harland Sanders in North Coben, Kentucky. There you go. What else is here? March 24th, 1930, first religious services telecast in the U.S., W2XBS New York City. March 26th, 1930, Congress appropriates $50,000 for Inter-American Highway. Wow. Wow, don't use it all at once. Oh, also, this is a fun one. First U.S. radio broadcast from ship at sea on March 27th, 1930. And, well, that is all that that's all for same as you remember, same as it ever was for March of 1930. Is it the same as you remember? Or is it the same as it ever was? Cue music.
This is not my show.
Or is it?
I forget. I can't remember. 1974, 1981, 2002, 2001, 1941, 704. Is it the same as you remember? Or is it the same as it ever was?
Again, I love that bumper. I can't not love that bumper. And no, it's not just confirmation bias because I made it. Or is it? You'll never know. But I'm pretty sure you can figure it out. What you can also figure out is we have one more. So the new format of this show, which I kind of didn't really explain, is we're going to have one story, we're going to have a bit, and then we're going to have an ending story. It's kind of a three act show now, which I kind of, it's kind of a good, easy show to kind of listen to. And then we're out. So act one, act two is a bit, and then act three is another story, and then we're out of here. But this story is kind of interesting because there's kind of some audio that goes along with it. We're going to read the news story and then we're going to sort of have a little bit of a conversation. So, Europe hits Google with a third $1.7 billion fine. Wow. The European Union has hit Google with another big altruistic fine, third in a series of billion-dollar penalties the US tech giant has incurred for hindering competition. The European Commission on Wednesday ordered Google to pay £1.5 billion, $1.7 billion, for abusing its dominant position in the online search advertising. Commissioner Margrethe Vestager said that Google has, quote, cemented its dominance and, quote, shielded itself from competitive pressure, unquote, by imposing instructional restraints on other websites. Oof. The commission said that Google stopped the illegal practice after regulators sent a statement in objections in July of 2016. EU regulators have taken a much more robust approach to big tech companies than their US counterparts, especially when it comes to competition, data protection, and tax issues. The commission has ordered the company to pay $4.9 billion in July of 2018 for unfairly pushing its apps on smartphone users and thwarting competitors, and followed a $2.7 billion fine on Google for its search engine to steer consumers its online shopping platform, totaling a grand total of £8.2 billion. That's $9.3 billion to pay to the government. Now, Google is a massive, massive business, and there's no denying that. But what there is kind of denying is that how, like, would I, and there's a video here that we'll play in a moment to kind of counteract this, but do we think that Google is a monopoly? That's kind of the question of the day. Is Google a monopoly? I don't think they are, because yes, they are the biggest competitor by a country mile, but I don't think that they are monopolizing the industry. Yes, they are doing sneaky things to try and prevent other people from coming into the market, but they're not preventing people from actually doing their business, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense, but yes, they are the biggest competitor by far, but they're not pushing competitors out. They're definitely not doing anything to sort of help themselves seem like a bigger market. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain because, yes, they are huge, and like this video will attest to in just a moment, that they are definitely bigger than some industries as a whole. Mind you, they're talking about industries that are dying and have been dying for hundreds of years now, but it's kind of gone with, it's the sort of gone with the wind syndrome that I'm feeling, is that Google kind of is this big name, and they've kind of grown of that, and they've kind of used web programming to their advantage here to get this big. And I don't, for me personally, I don't think there's been anyone who has prevented them from doing that up to this point. In Europe, I know there's been a bunch of privacy laws that have now prevented this, but there's nothing that's been stopping say, for example, Microsoft to do the same thing before Google did, before the existence of Google. Because you got to think, Google hasn't been around for that long, at least in my social psyche, you know, at least in my sort of mental state, they haven't been around for that long. But there's also been the company before that, like, technology have been around for ages, so they kind of, I don't know, it's kind of one of those things where it's just like, yes, Google's doing all these things, but nothing has stopped, say, another tech giant to doing it before Google got to it. We are gonna see if we can play a little bit of this video for you and see, well, I might play the whole thing because the whole thing rings up. This is from CNN Business. Whoa. As it freaks out. Hey, look, even on pre-recorded stuff, we are having technical difficulties.
Is Google a monopoly? Let's talk about why some people think that it is. And when you talk about monopolies, the first thing you want to do is define what the market is. Let's take its ad business. Google currently controls 37% of all digital ad sales in the US, and that's almost double the next biggest company, which is Facebook. That is a huge number for what is the single highest growing sector in all of advertising. So if you look at the market of online ad revenue, Google is dominant. But if you ask Google, it'll tell you that no, the market isn't digital ad revenue. It's actually all ads. It's TV, it's print, it's billboards. So Google controls 37% of the digital ad market in the US. But if you expand it out to include the broader market of all ads in the US, it's only about 14%. But that's still more than the entire print industry. And every year, digital ads are taking a larger and larger slice of the overall pie. We're not comparing Google to single companies here. We're comparing it to entire industries. That's how big Google is. And that size is exactly what antitrust critics are pointing to when they say that Google is too big. They also say that Google highlights its own products and its search results over that of other companies. The real estate of a Google search page is some of the most valuable in all of the internet. And over the last few years, Google has added more and more Google products to it. Here, let's take an example. Let's type in mattress. Literally, the entire screen is either Google Ads or Google Shopping Page. Now, Google says it does this because this helps people find information faster and that its products are better than its competitors. But others say that it makes competition with Google impossible. And those Google products that Google happens to highlight, they also happen to make Google billions of dollars in revenue, helping users, but also helping Google. You can see that same dynamic play out with Chrome, because Chrome is by far the biggest browser. Safari, Internet Explorer, Firefox, all combined, make up about 20% of the browser market. Chrome alone has three times that number. And controlling how the majority of people access the internet gives Google power. Power to do things like flip a switch and turn ad block on. Now, Google says they did this because this is something that users want and it protects them. But Google's ad block doesn't filter out all ads, just harmful ones. And Google ads, they're still acceptable. So did Google put ad block on Chrome because it helps its customers or because it helps its ad business? Look, people like Google and the products that they make. And a lot of Google's moves do make it easier for people to get information quickly and clearly. But this is the tough situation that antitrust regulators find themselves in. Actions that might help users in some ways can also be a threat to fair competition. But here's the question. With Google being so dominant, is there any room for the next Google? Is Google just too big?
That's also a very good question. Is Google too big? And I would say kind of. You know, if Google, like, had its, like, if Google for some ungodly reason was to collapse, right? If it was to collapse and fall under the power of mercy, what underneath would come up and spurt and be the next bigger thing? Because you've got to think, it's got to be bigger than what is currently happening right now, if that makes sense. I don't know if that is a possibility or not, because, you know, you got to think, who, like, what, like, where is Google and, like, what sort of business? I don't know Google's sort of business plans, but I can tell you that, again, my point in this whole argument is that I don't think no one, apart from this privacy thing in Europe, no one previously has stopped Google from doing this, if that makes sense. That's just my two cents. Let me know what you guys think. Let me know in the comments or email show@geek-io.net. Let us know in the Discord as well, geek-io.net/Discord. And let me know what you guys think because, you know, that's very important. So, alrighty. Well, that's about do it. That's it for the show. We've done one act. What did we learn today? We learned that we're back, baby. We're going to try and keep these to a sort of regular basis now. As sort of stopgap episodes. We can stockpile these and kind of release them sort of promptly. We can have more sort of open conversations and stuff as well. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what this incarnation of the show, the Genetic Light Show format, brings to the brings to the choreography of this show, yes! But kind of the newest sort of refreshed discography. That's the one I was looking for. Choreography. to the show. Like, sort of bring the next sort of discography to this show. So, very excited about that. We also learned that no matter what, going out in a major city is expensive. So we love that. We also learned that if you lay down in the middle of a busy street, people will pay attention to you. We also learned that train stations are an ugly place. We also learned that. And we also took a trip back to March of 1930 as well. Thank you everyone for joining us. A few little plugs to get out of the way. My name is Dale Campbell. You can follow me on Instagram at TheDaleCampbell. That's T-H-E. DaleCampbell, the Dale Campbell on Instagram and Twitter. You can find everything that we do over here at the Geek.io Media Network, geek-io.net /geek.io on all social medias. Facebook and Twitter are the main ones. For now, ba-ba. we do have a Snapchat, we have Instagram as well that we use occasionally as well. You can support everything that we do here on the Geek.io Media Network over at patreon.com/geek.io. And you can find video versions of all of our shows over on YouTube at youtube.com/geek.io show. And we don't record this show live, but this show will run live on Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time when it does run. So stay tuned for that as well. twitch.tv/geek.io. Smash that love button and show your love. Thank you everyone. I also want to thank everyone for your support over the last several months. We do appreciate it, and we do appreciate you guys sticking with the Genetic Live Show as well. I very much appreciate that. All of the fans who have reached out and gone, why are you doing this show anymore? I miss my Dale. Yes, I'm back, and I figured out a sort of little stopgap, and maybe it's not the best, but, you know, it keeps the ball rolling. If you've got any feedback, or if you've got any discussion points you want me to bring up on the show, show@geek-io.net, Genetic Live Show, Water Buffalo, or Banana Cheese in the subject line, it'll get to me, I'll get it, we'll figure it out, it'll be a fun time. But until next time, I've been Dale Campbell. Thank you for joining me here on the Genetic Live Show. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Hope you've enjoyed the choreography of this show.
been listening to a Geek.io Media Network LLC production. Would you like to convert that to pounds? Copyright 2019.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hey, this is Jill from The Container Store.
Oh.
Is there something wrong?
I just thought a virtual designer would be a cool robot.
I could do a robot voice if that helps.
Maybe.
Hi, I am Jill. Let's design.
Nope, absolutely not. Regular voice, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not good at impressions.
Enjoy free virtual in-home closet design and up to 25% off closet systems with The Container Store's custom closet sale. The Container Store, where space comes from.